Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6, so if you could take your Bible or your pew Bible and let's turn there together. And this morning we'll begin reading at the fifth verse, Matthew 6, 5 through 13. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and to pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Let's continue now in our worship and to prepare our hearts to receive from his word. It's hymn 472, Near to the Heart of God. I'm needing some prayer before I begin this morning. It's number one, we sent our second son to college yesterday. We took him and unloaded him, so Sarah and I are not doing well. So I need prayer for that. Number two, my wife was born and raised in Brazil on the mission field. And so the Olympics started. It's not a good time in our household when USA plays Brazil. So I need prayer for that. And then thirdly, just for our church. So if somebody would, I'm going to pick somebody to pray. And if you'll just stand, then if you'll pray for those three things. Let me have, Y'all look like kids in science class in eighth grade when the teacher's asking, who, you know, ducking. And that's it, isn't it? Somebody asks us to pray and we get nervous. It's hard to pray, especially in public. My father-in-law one time actually did this. He said, I want you to pray at his church down in outside of Natchez. And the person he asked to pray said, preacher, that's what we pay you for. So, yeah. It's been my experience. It is easier to get somebody to serve. It's easier to get somebody to even teach or preach. But ask somebody to pray in front of folks. Look, I saw some beautiful praying in front of people this past week. Our student minister, Corey Phillips, had bought a ton of Gatorades from our student ministry and took them out and invited me to go. We took them out to the Thursday afternoon practice at Madison Central. So everybody played on the team, every coach, every helper, all got Gatorades from our student ministry. At the end of practice, they were all running sprints. And again, it was large corporate prayer as I watched the offensive linemen praying to the Lord to take them now or to get them through that. There was a whole lot of praying going on. But for you and I, maybe we struggle with praying. And as you listen to Jesus' words, we ought to have some struggle about how we pray out loud and why we pray out loud and to be careful with that. But as we've been talking together in our last 3 weeks, it's the only time I've ever done this, only time I plan to do it, is just I'm looking at different topics from a book called Confessions of a Pastor. Now, I'm not preaching that book. We're going to the scriptures. But it's a church pastor saying, these are the things with which I wrestle. And he's very open and honest with those things. And this week's topic, this week's chapter title, A Preacher of the Gospel says this: I hate going to prayer meetings. He confesses his struggles sometimes with corporate prayer and even his own struggles with his personal prayer life. Robert Tuttle tells the story of a young 9-year-old boy who's sitting in his desk at school, and he's struggling. And that struggle, unfortunately, turns to a puddle at his feet, so you understand what's happened. And now he realizes that in a minute, he'll be found out. And when he gets found out, that the boys will be unrelenting, that the teasing not will just start today, but it'll continue for forever. And so he says a prayer that you and I have prayed 1,000 times, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this one, right? And he finishes that prayer and he looks up and he realizes his teacher has seen. And she's getting out of her chair, and soon he will be exposed and found out. It just so happened that a young classmate of his, Susie, was moving the goldfish bowl in that room to another place in the room and walked by him and tripped and spilled out all the water on his lap. Immediately he said to himself, glory, hallelujah. You answer prayers and you answer them quickly. And so what does the class do? They turn on Susie. And they begin to say, what a klutz. You're now Susie the klutz. Look what you've done. You've probably killed our goldfish. All this teasing that should have been his has now been put on her. Later that day, after he had been cleaned up and teacher had sent him away to get cleaned up and brought him back in, they go to the bus stop and he happens to be standing beside Susie the klutz. And even in his 9-year-old age, he had some wisdom and he turned to her and said, you knew, didn't you? And she said, I did. It happened to me once before, and I didn't want you embarrassed. That's where we can be sometimes with our prayer life. And with anything with which we struggle. As believers, somehow we believe we've got to put on this front and look like this Pharisee praying big and praying loud. And God is calling us to be real. To be real with Him, but also to be real with one another. And so we turn to our scripture today in Matthew, and we see what God's calling us to. And really, it's a non-negotiable for us. But it's interesting to me that as you go through this passage, as much as we don't have time on a Communion Sunday to walk through all of this, but it's not so much, even though it's partly, it's not so much on how to pray. It's not so much on what to pray, but look at 6:5 and 6:6 and 6:7 and really in some translations, 6:9. It's when. When you pray, do this. When you pray, do that. What Jesus is inviting the people of God to is to fellowship with Him and to pray always, not just on the what, and He helps us on that, not just on the how, and He helps us on that, but it's this expectation, but also even better, it's this invitation. When? It's the same thing Paul picks up in all of his epistles, that you pray without ceasing. It's the same thing he says when you, in everything, give thanks or make your prayers and petitions known, or Colossians when he says, devote yourselves constantly to prayer. And you see that. We see that in Jesus' life. He's always praying. Before several of the miracles, he's speaking to his Father. Early in the morning, he's speaking with his Father. If you read the Gospel of John, it almost makes you a little uncomfortable. Because Jesus is always talking to his Father, all the time. And that's what he's reminding us in Matthew 6. This is the invitation. And it only happens because of what we celebrate today. As we were reminded in Susie's story, she took on what should have been this 9-year-old boy's. Christ has done that for us. He has took on our sin. He has freed us from the penalties of sin and death through his cross and resurrection. And because of that, the doors are open wide to fellowship and to intimacy with his Father. So why is it we miss our prayer time? Why is it we miss praying together? I'll admit to you, I was at a pastor's prayer meeting this week. I was invited to that. Again, I always get these invitations. I knew I was preaching on the importance of being in relationships last week, and somebody asked me to be a part of a covenant group, so I felt I had to say yes, but I did. Same today, I got invited to a prayer meeting. Now, let's be honest. Have you been a part of a prayer meeting that got a little long? One of the churches I served before, we had a community prayer meeting of pastors. 2 hours. It was beautiful, but it was 2 hours of men and women of God praying for one another, praying for our town, praying for our nation, but 2 hours. And so maybe we just don't want to give that kind of time. Or maybe you're like me, I just can't handle the dead fish or the sweaty handshake. Or you know what I'm saying, when you hold hands and that fish. Or some of y'all have OCD and you pattern when you're praying and we're holding hands. So there's a lot of reasons we might say no to that. But maybe it's because of some roadblocks in our life. Maybe it's because you feel inadequate. And so you don't want to pray with your spouse, or you don't want to pray with your best friend, or you don't want to pray before your Sunday school class. Look, I understand this. For men, we value expertise. I was just told by one of the children, see these shoes? Yeah, they make me fast. Children's time. We value things that we know, and we value expertise. And so when it comes to prayer, I will never pray in public because I don't want people to think that I'm less than. Maybe that's why we don't speak up in small group or Sunday school. I don't want to be real. And maybe our inadequacies will get in the way. Or maybe we doubt the care of God. Maybe we think he's so busy with so many other things, maybe he won't hear me. And this is the good news of this scripture. We go back to verse 6. You go back to verse 8. In verse 6, he reminds us, your Father sees you in secret. He is there with you. We just heard that wonderful news reminded to us again in our responsive reading this morning. The Father is with his children. And then when we think about, well, does he really love me? Will he really be for me? Verse 8, it says again, our Father knows our needs. But all those answers, y'all, are found right here this morning. When you and I feel that we're inadequate, guess what? We are. While we were yet sinners, God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And we think that maybe, or doubt, does he really love? Does he really care? We're reminded here again this morning. We come to this table reminded again. This is how much he loves. This is how much he cares. And it's just you. It's for you. Jesus is reminding them not just how to pray, what to pray. But the reminder again, God has given us his invitation of when. And it's always. How is it you and I need to recommit ourselves to that? In spite of our inadequacies, in spite of our feelings, which so many times plague us, maybe the Father is he's unpleased with me. whatever it may be, Jesus just says, when. And that's the invitation this morning, that you and I would come and we'd experience again not only the wonderful forgiving grace of Jesus Christ, but communion. So as you come this morning, I'm inviting you not just to come and to receive, but also to celebrate and know that communion that you are to have. So after you've received, this altar rail is open. You come and you pray. After you've received, or if you're waiting for a while to receive, take this time to be a concert of prayer. Speak to your Father and tell Him again of your need. Speak to your Father again and hear His reassuring word. So let's celebrate the communion that we have together that is found only in and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We gather together to give thanks to God for what He has done and is doing in us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we remember that on the night in which Christ was betrayed, He took bread. He gave thanks to God, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took the cup. He gave thanks to God, gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Let us pray. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and on this cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with Your Holy Spirit and Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to ask those who are assisting and serving this morning if you would go ahead and come. And as they do, I want to remind us, again, this is an open table. This is the Lord's table. It's not a Methodist table. And so if you would respond to the invitation, we invite all who would receive to come. Also, this morning, we'll receive by intinction. And so if you would just, as Renee said, just put your hands in the cross, and you'll receive that piece of bread, and then take that bread, dip it in the cup, and that's how we will receive. And then lastly, again, this altar rail is open. Let's use this time to be in prayer. Let's use this time to celebrate and to enjoy what Christ has won for us, and that is communion with the Lord and communion with one another.